Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we're doing the adventure for Ironwind that we started in the last episode. Apparently my progress was lost at some point, so we were starting again. I'll be clicking through it quickly. But here we're fighting, the Argoyle is attacking us, and we're going to try to fight it in a different way. Wormdom.org, tell me what to do, number 1 to 7, generate 6. Attempt to flee. You turn and flee, but are quickly struck from behind. Alright, so do not run from Iron Girls. Your agonized cry is swiftly drowned out by the shrill howl of the storm's frigid, snow-filled winds as the beast's claws tear into your flesh. 47 damage. It's severely wounded, but still alive. You hurriedly turn to face the creature and draw yourself into a defensive stance, struggling to dodge the savage swipes of the creature's clawed hands. You boldly engage the hulking beast. The massive creature swats at you with its clawed hands, devastating blow, and slain. 39 XP. And I think now this is continuing as it was. It's continuing as it was before. Yeah, they get you. Helped out. You meet the people for Ironwind. You're healed, which is handy because I took quite a bit of damage in that fight. Talks about Scavenger, who's got off to the caves of Maromog and has the map to the third part of the key. Fortunately, the second part's right here. Yeah. The Ward of Flame, that might help. And here we are. You're standing at the western edge of an icy cave tunnel, directly in front of the iron door that leads into the lowest level of Fort Ironwind. Wedgley has told you that one of his men will be stationed on the other side of the door, prepared to open it in the event you're ready to leave the cave. Head east into the caves. The ice-coated walls of the frigid cavern glisten and sparkle as you cautiously make your way through the frozen lair. So I'm pretty much at the western edge of the cave. I go east a bit. Okay, there's passage to the north, passage to the south. Do the south one first. The ice-coated walls of the frigid cavern glisten and sparkle as you cautiously make your way through this frozen lair. Alright, checking out a bit northwest from the split. You freeze in mid-step and douse your light as a massive shape looms out of the darkness ahead. Only a few seconds later, an Argoyle lumbers into view. Much to your dismay, the fearsome predator, a creature adept at stalking and slaying any prey bold or foolhardy enough to wander into its wintry domain, takes immediate notice of you. The Argoyle unleashes a savage bellow as it stomps towards you along the cave passage. So I could flee or fight. I'm going to fight first. You step boldly forward and meet the Argoyle's advance. The fearsome creature unleashes a deafening bellow that echoes through the caves as it closes in and attacks. Argoyle, begin combat. Swats you with his clawed hands, a few devastating blows for about 30 damage. Devastating blow for 25 damage and slain. 40 XP. You step back from the bloodied carcass and stared down at Slade Argo. Despite its savage appearance, there's something oddly noble about the creature sprawled out before you on the cave floor. For a moment, you find yourself almost sympathetic to the plight of any beast that has to carve out an existence in this remote, unforgiving corner of the world. Recalling Wegleg's offer to pay for Argo hides, you put your woodsmanship skills to use and quickly skin the fallen beast. I now have an Argo pelt. It's got an encumbrance of one. This thick white and grey pelt, flecked with patches of brown, is from an Argo owl. After making certain nothing else is lurking in the immediate area, you cautiously resume your exploration of the caves. I'm back to the map, and there's a little question mark in the northwest corner. I'll check it out. A wide, jagged fissure in the wall to the north opens into a high, steep, snow-laden slope of Mount Corrigan. The howl of the wind driving the blizzard that assails the broad ledge just outside the opening is deafening. Why, you realise this must be one of the cave mouths used by the Argo that roam these frozen passages. Attempting to make your way out through the opening and into the raging storm would be far too perilous, and also there's no reason to do it. Suddenly, you're startled by the sudden appearance of a large, hulking figure in the midst of the swirling snow. The imposing, vaguely humanoid silhouette stands only a few yards from the cave mouth, but it is obscured by the raging storm, making it impossible for you to clearly identify it. You stand still and silent, your eyes trained on the lurking figure, wondering perhaps it is whatever it is will attempt to enter the cave to escape the storm's icy wrath. Despite the intensity of the blizzard, however, the figure does not budge. Then, as quickly as it appears, the eerie silhouette is gone. You wait for several minutes to see if the figure will return. When it does not, you decide to once again set off on your way. Okay, and that's it. Just, it's cold, let's not go there. And there's another question mark, just alcove, just to the east. You step into a wide, large, rounded chamber at the end of the cave passage. A thick coating of ice covers the walls, which glitter brilliantly as the glow of your trusty light source passes across them. You've just begun to take note of a large number of bones strewn across the floor when the sound of something large moving in the darkness ahead sends your pulse racing. You look up and stifle a horrified gasp as you behold the gruesome sight rapidly descending out of the gloom. An ice worm. Oh, there's a lore book entry for that ice worm. These large, silver-scaled serpents exist in only the coldest, most remote regions. Reaching lengths of nearly 50 feet, ice worms are capable of killing, devouring extremely large prey. The powerful, fang-filled jaws of these giant serpents inflict a fearsome, venomous bite that can freeze even large creatures. Ice worms are said to be as cold as the wintry domains they inhabit. You fall back and instinctively draw yourself into defensive stance as the massive carnivore, a deadly serpentine predator that prowls the wintry regions of the world in search of prey to sate its ferocious appetite, drops down out of the darkness above and attacks. The silver-scaled serpent swiftly encircles you with its rigid bulk, cutting off any chance of escape as it stretches wide its fang-filled jaws and prepares to strike. It's the ice worm, time to fight. Snaps at you its massive jaws. Just keep bashing and bashing it. And slain. 40 XP. You step back from the oozing carcass of the ice worm and wipe away the sweat striking down your brow. In the wake of the massive serpent's demise, a strange, almost eerie quiet fills the room. The oozing carcass of the ice worm dominates the centre of this large rounded chamber. Already the great serpent's body has begun to freeze solid. A large number of bones lie strewn across the floor of the chamber. You can only surmise these are the remains of some of the ice worm's past meals. Well, let's just search him anyway. You're surprised to find that many of the bones littering the floor of this chamber are those of mountain goblins. You're wondering why goblins, even mountain goblins, would choose to visit such an inhospitable region when you spot something at your feet. Beneath the fang-punctured goblin skull, you discover a small triangular piece of stone that bears a curious engraving. It's a stone square half. This small triangular piece of stone is obviously half of a larger square piece. Half of the engraving of a blazing sun adorns the flat surface of the stone. Certainly you haven't overlooked anything. You abandon your search and prepare to set off on your way. Alright, look again. Nothing new. I keep making my way east along the northern section. Question mark coming up. You're standing at the western edge of a wide, fathomless chasm that divides the cave passage. The broad, jagged fissure, perhaps 50 feet across, has no visible bottom. A narrow wooden bridge, little more than three lengthy planks bound together by thick ropes, perilously spans the chasm. On the far side of the chasm, the passage continues to the east, so I could use gating, cross with the bridge, or find a way round. I use gating. Succeeded. 32 experience to gating. You channel your power of gating, and the swirling black portal opens silently to your right. Wasting no time, you step into the magical gate, only to emerge from a second portal, a moment later, on the opposite side of the chasm. Alright, I can go east now. Alright, and then the half-frozen... I'm close to the northeast corner. I'm in the northeast corner of this particular section. The half-frozen remains of a man in leather armour lie slumped against the north wall in this section of the cave passage. A quick examination of the remains of the unfortunate soul reveals no sign of violence or any other clues that might disclose how he perished. Search the body, I guess. You make a quick search of the frozen body and discover, apart from the layers of ice-coated attire, a short sword and a small cloth pouch. It's a short sword. It's a weapon. It's slashing. It's just a common, well-crafted sword. Well-crafted sword. Generic well-crafted sword. It's not magic or anything. You pick up the small cloth pouch and are surprised to find it contains a small quantity of gold and a few adventurer tokens. So 14 gold and 5 adventurer tokens. Woo-hoo. Confident you haven't overlooked anything, you step away from the body and prepare to continue on your way. Now to go south. The ice-coated walls of the frigid cavern glisten and sparkle as you cautiously make your way through this frozen lair. I explored the little circle in the northeast corner of this bit. Suddenly, a sharp splintering sound from somewhere overhead serves as your first and only warning of the deadly torrent of ice about to rain down into the cave passage. I have several options: fortification, shadow magic, elementalism, or just spoiling out of the way. I'll use fortification first. It succeeded. 16 XP to fortification. You call upon your power of fortification without a second to spare. A wide, dazzling field of orange sparkles appears directly above you. The plummeting chunks of ice slam into your magical shield and shatter upon impact, scattering their small, harmless shards throughout the passage. Thankful to survive the deadly barrage of ice, you quickly check over your equipment for once again setting off through the caves. Okay. You freeze in mid-step and douse your light as a massive shape looms out of the darkness ahead. Only a few seconds later, an Aragorn lumbers into view. Much to your dismay, the fearsome predator, creature adept at stalking and slaying any prey bold enough or foolhardy enough to wander into its wary domain, wintry domain, and meet its immediate notice of you. The Argo unleashes a savage bellow as it stomps towards you along the passage. I'm going to flee this time. You take flight along the cave passage, but the Argo is at your heels, bellowing angrily and swiping at your back with his deadly claws, picking a number. Bonus of 50. 20 from woodmanship, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got it at 75 or more, or get waked. Pick now. 68, Fanny. Oh, ow, ow, ow. You're covered less than 10 yards along the cave passage when a savage blow from behind tears into your flesh and sends you sprawling. 26 damage. Stifling an agonized cry, you stagger to your feet and turn to face the hulking carnivore, bent intent on making you its next meal. It's an Argo, beginning combat. Swats at you with its clawed hands, there's some devastating blows, and it is slain. 40 XP. You step back from the bloody carcass and stare down at the slain Argo. Despite its savage appearance, there's something oddly noble about the creature sprawled out before you on the cave floor. For the moment, you find yourself almost sympathetic to the plight of any beast that has to carve out its existence in a remote, unforgiving corner of the world. Recalling Wegleg's offer to pay for your gold hides, you put your woodsmanship skills to use and quickly skin the fallen beast. I have another Irrigal pout. To making certain that nothing else is lurking in the immediate area, you cautiously resume your exploration of the caves. There's a passage to the south. Let's see what's down there. The half-frozen remains of a chain-clad woman lie swamped against the south wall in this section of the icy cave passage. A quick examination of the remains of this unfortunate soul reveals no sign of any violence or any other clues that might disclose how she perished. Now, considering this is an icy cave, where pretty much anyone who's there would just stay there for centuries, these remains could well have been around when the Fort Ironwind was first built. Although, honestly, I would have suspected a fortress full of bandits would have, you know, looted them, but it is a cave filled with Argo, so maybe they just let it be. Search the body. You make a quick search of the frozen body, and discover, apart from layers of ice-coated attire, an axe and a silver moon wing. Let's look at this axe. It's just a well-crafted axe. It'll sell for something later. The instant you take hold of the wing, a deep chill runs through you. The unpleasant sensation gradually subsides and does not return. Silver moon wing? It is unsurprisingly armor for your finger, as you suspected it's magical. Provides one stamina melee point, two stamina points, and one luck. This thick band, made out of hammered silver, bears an engraving of a crescent moon on its broad, flat face. You discovered the thing, this wing on the finger of a frozen body of a woman in the caves beneath Fort Ironwind. Confident you haven't overlooked anything, you step away from the body and prepare to continue on your way. Alright, a bit southwest. And there's another alcove with a question mark on the south side of the cave. A thick iron plate has been attached to the back wall of this narrow alcove, just off the cave passage you've been following. At the centre of this iron plate is a small square impression. No. Alright, what about that triangular thing I got? Alright, things I've got. Stone square half, use. You fit your stone square half into the impression it sends you the iron plate. After a few moments when nothing has apparently happened, you remove the stone piece and step back. Looks like I've got to find the other half somewhere. Yep, here's another Argo. particular item may be of use here. So that will be the that wad we got a bit back. Let's see. I'm looking through things. Wad of flame. Use. You draw out the wad of flame and hold it out towards Diagoral. A thin blue flame appears at the tip of the copper wad. The dazzling light emitted by the small flame bathes the entire section of the cave passage in a flickering blue glow. With a defiant snort, the Ouroghoul turns its gaze upon the flame. The creature's eyes widen until the great black orbs perfectly reflect the dancing finger of blue fire. After stamping its feet several times, the savage beast turns and moves off in the opposite direction, swiftly vanishing into the frigid gloom. When you're certain Yagurao is gone, you'll draw the wand and tuck it back in amongst your other belongings, making certain to leave it within easy reach. To making certain nothing else is lurking in the immediate area, you cautiously resume your exploration of the cave. Alright, now we've seen the three different things that can happen if you meet an Argoyle. You can fight it, you can flee it. Here's another Argoyle, just going to attack it. It fights like the other Argoyle, quick combat. 39 XP. We're a bit sad as we look at it, but we still take its pelt. We've got three of them now. How many there are? Suddenly, a sharp, splintering sound from somewhere far overhead serves as your first and only warning of a deadly torrent of ice about to rain down into the cave passage. So it's got the same checks as the previous torrent of ice, so shadow magic. Succeeded. 16 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic, and a single eerie whisper slips in amongst your thoughts as two broad lengths of gloom peel away from the cave wall. Moving almost faster than your eyes can discern, the bands of shadow weave themselves into a wide web that stretches across the corridor just above your head. The plummeting chunks of ice are instantly snared by the shadowy barrier. Thankful to have survived the deadly barrage of ice, you quickly check over your equipment before once again setting off through the caves. Okay, and another ice bit. Elementalism this time. Succeeded. 16 XP to 10 elementalism. Without a second to spare, he managed to channel and focus your power of elementalism on the falling chunks of ice. The instant your magic goes to work, the jagged pieces falling down from above melt into icy water that splashes down harmlessly around you. Thankful to have survived the deadly barrage of ice, you quickly check over your equipment for once again setting off through the caves. Alright, time to continue looking around, covering all the places I haven't been to yet. Oh, the half-frozen remains of a bearded man lie slumped against the east wall in this section of the cave passage. Quick examination of the remains of this unfortunate soul reveal no signs of violence or any other clues that might disclose how he perished. Search the body. You make a quick search of the frozen body and discover, apart from ice, layers of ice-coated attire, a dagger and a silver moon amulet. It's a superior dagger, but still mundane. The instant you take hold of the amulet, a deep chill runs through you. The unpleasant sensation gradually subsides and does not return. You also have a silver moon amulet that provides 2 stamina points and 1 luck. Unsurprisingly, it's magical neck armor. This thin amulet, made out of hammered silver, is shaped like a crescent moon. You discovered this amulet on the neck of a frozen body of a man in the caves beneath Fort Ironwind. Confident you haven't overlooked anything, you step away from the body and prepare to continue on your way. Right, keep going. and so on. Here's another I will go. I'll just fight it. Begin combat. Doobie-doop-boop, bash, 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 bash. Go into an uncontrollable rage. Stop having such a nice pout. I want your pout. Want your pout so I can exchange it for money. And adventurer tokens, perhaps, or something. Of course, while I know what it's exchanged for the purposes of narrative tension, another attack, quick combat, 40 XP, and another Isle Girl pelt. I have 5 of them now. How many of them is there in this cave? I will go again, quick combat, take the pelt. That's pelt number 6. Going, keep going, keep going. There's a square impression again. Got to that part. Can't use that until I find the other part. I'm not sure whether this puzzle is actually necessary. Okay, in the southeast corner. Another hour ago. Quick combat. 40 XP. 7th I will go pelt. Quick healing myself. Okay, in the southeast corner is a twisty passage that goes back to the north again. Suddenly, a sharp splintering sound from somewhere far overhead serves as your first and only warning of the deadly torrent of ice about to wane down into the cave passage. Alright, I've done the other 3 options. Attempt to dive clear of the falling ice. You dive forward in a desperate attempt to throw yourself clear of the falling ice. Picking a number, bonus of 40, 20 from woodmanship, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more. Pick now! 110! Success! Your quick reflexes have very likely saved your life. The deadly barrage of ice crashes down into the passage behind you, with a deafening roar that echoes throughout the caves. Thankful to avoid being crushed beneath the falling ice, you quickly check over your equipment before once again setting off through the caves. Alright, now to continue down that passage. You freeze in mid-step and douse your light as a massive slate shape looms out of the darkness ahead. Only a split few seconds later, an Aragorn lumbers into view. Okay, it's another Aragorn, just going to fight it. Quick combat. 40 XP, another Aragorn pelt. I now have 8 of them. Okay. Twisting my way to the north. Splintering of ice. Shadow magic. You channel 16 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic, and a single eerie whisper slips in amongst your thoughts as 2 broad lengths of gloom peel away from the icy cave wall, moving almost faster than your eyes can discern. The bands of shadow weave themselves into a wide web that stretches across the corridor just above your head. The plummeting chunks of ice are instantly snared by the shadowy barrier. Thankful survived the deadly barrage of ice. You quickly check over your equipment before once again setting off through the caves. Alright, keep going, keep going. You freeze him. It's thankful. Alright, it's another hour goal, but it hasn't noticed you. I'm going to attack it nonetheless. Begin combat. And so it is slain. 40 XP and another Iowa Girl pelt. That brings our total number of pelts up to 9, which, from reading the wiki, is all of them. Very nice. So that means there's not going to be any more of them around, and I'm going to get the best reward I can from them. I'm just going to wander down and round a bit just to check before I check out the very northeast corner. All right, I've did a little loop. Nothing's turned up. Looks like I've got all of them, or I've got enough of them for the West to run away and find some different caves. Or maybe just freeze to death. Either way, they're not around here. And it'd probably be a little bit of time before some others move in. I mean, they will eventually. It's some very nice caves. So much warmer and nicer than being on top of a frozen mountain. So something's going to move in. It's just there. It'll be a while. The ice-coated walls of the frigid cavern glisten and sparkle as you cautiously make your way through the frozen lair, now very northeast corner. You're standing in a small, round chamber, the end of a long, winding, icy cave passage. A massive, natural pillar of stone stands towards the back of the chamber, stretching out of sight into the dense gloom above. All right, that's where the symbol is. Your eyes were immediately drawn to the black symbol adorning the base of the soaring column. The mark emblazoned upon the symbol depicts the lower third of a Takaba. It's one of the three pieces of the emblazoned key. A thick coating of ice covers the marking. The ice appears impervious to any attempt to remove it. Which is good, because that probably ruin everything. Your heart nearly skips beat when you suddenly realise you're not alone here. Almost invisible. Crouched in the shadows that shroud the base of the pillar. A young man, clad in furs, appears to be intensely studying the symbol emblazoned upon the column. Is that the scavenger, perhaps? Though I thought he went further than that. Completely enveloped in this endeavour, he hasn't yet taken notice of you. You watch with growing interest as a greenish glow emanates from the young man's cupped hands. He holds his glowing hands up towards the symbol and mutters several words in a strange foreign tongue. Suddenly, somehow alerted to your presence, maybe I did a bit of unconscious boinging, he withdraws his hands and springs to his feet, spinning to face you. His dark eyes wide in horror as his frightened gaze falls upon you. Forgive me! He stammers, backing away from the pillar. I did not mean to cross you. Please, go. I shouldn't be here. Please. Well, it's clear that your sudden appearance has nerved him. You sense that he's firmly in the grip of some far greater terror. Okay, so I can question him, allow him to leave, or attack him. All right, what? And divination can get me some clues as to what's going on. Success. It failed. That's a pity. Despite your best efforts, you're unable to sense anything further about either the young man or his intentions. Oh, I'm going to question him, but I don't think it will go anywhere. You question the young man, determined to find out what he's doing here, why he's attempting to acquire the symbol emblazoned upon the pillar, picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 from diplomacy, 20 from mind, 10 from aura, 10 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, or I'll spook him too much. Pick now. 83 success. Don't you just. 32 experience to diplomacy. For initially reluctant to give you any useful information, your relentless interrogation eventually wears down his will and embarks on what turns out to be an interesting and chilling narrative. You learn that he came to Mount Kawagon in search of these very caves and the symbol emblazoned upon the stone pillar. So I guess he's one of the people interested in the deepest secrets of the mad, or more accurately, hired by one of them. His instructions were to obtain the symbol using an ancient spell provided to him by his elder. When you inquire about the identity of his elder, he immediately becomes agitated and refuses to reveal his name. Honestly, I think there's a pretty decent chance he doesn't even know. You cannot know what it is I find myself under, he says, his voice quavering. You've already failed. That is plain enough. You've already earned the wrath of the superiors. Please, you must let me go. I know who you are. Believe me when I tell you I seek no quarrel with you. I'll leave the symbol to you. He makes several attempts to coach the young man into revealing the identity of his elder or his superiors. But he steadfastly refuses. It's easy to see that he's terrified of a few and those to whom he has only alluded. Despite this, you have little doubt. Little doubt this young man, using terms common among mages belonging to the Grey Circle, is a member of that powerful and influential brotherhood. So, Grey Circle. Now, Glenoris is part of the Grey Circle, so... So, Glenoris, probably pretending it's part of some... Probably acting like, oh yeah, this is totally from the Grey Mage herself. You've got to believe me. Also, you might get stabbed. Yes, I need to leave at once, he proceeds. I'll be in great danger if I linger here. And so will you be. So too will you be. Please, I must go. The young mage trembles as he awaits a response to his plea. Look, honestly, I think he's just some random mid-level guy. Just walked in and went, do-do-do-do-do. I have an incredibly dangerous mission for you to do. And if it goes wrong, I'll deny you ever existed. And if it goes right, you'll get to live. Maybe. Alright, so I can attack him or allow him to leave. I'm going to allow him to leave. Taking pity on the young man. You tell him he's free to leave. He seems grateful and mumbles something to that effect. For you sense he is still in the grip of some unspoken terror. Suddenly, the sharp crack of energy coupled with the unmistakable odour of burning ozone fills the icy passage. You spin around to face a stone pillar, just in time to witness a sight both unexpected and terrible. The dazzling blue glow of the energy-rimmed portal illuminates the end of the cave passage. There, sunk to his knees, trembling uncontrollably before the magical gate, is the young, fur-clad mage. Oh, he's in trouble. The young spellcaster seems to be tempted to speak. The words emerge from his quivering lips as little more than unintelligible gibbering. Maybe he's just got the whispering madness. And he hears the silent roar. Already beset with what appears to be dire fear, his eyes widen, and he gasps loudly as this frail, shadowy figure of a man clad in a hooded tunic steps through the portal and into the corridor. For you cannot see the face of his new arrival. There is something undeniably familiar about the unknown man, now levelling his outstretched hand at the cowering mage. The sound of a single word, softly spoken in a strange, glottal tongue, washes along the passage like the passing of a stiff wind. The next instant, the young man crumples into a heap on the icy floor at the base of the pillar. He does not again move.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh. It looks like there was nothing I could do to save him. Because apparently they put a kill word on him somehow. I don't know, maybe they put they've injected some sort of worm or something in his heart. Heart, and if it hears a certain word, it just clenches and whoop, there goes your heart. Or something like that. But, you know, probably more magical and less biopunk. Without glancing in your direction, the hooded man is back suddenly bent, as if he's burdened by some great load pressing upon his narrow shoulders, retreats into the inky core of the portal and vanishes. The magical magical gate immediately closes, plunging the end of the corridor. End of the corridor into darkness. I do not know who this guy is. Perhaps he's just another minion of the big guys. You know, Woundskin, Glenorus, the Grey Circle. I think Woundskin and Glenorus could definitely do this sort of stuff. You quickly make the actual sentient portal itself in the bottom of Wagner's mad. Because it definitely doesn't want me to get all the way down there. Because if I get all the way down there, I will destroy it. Although, why is it smashing this guy? Yeah, because it failed him. You quickly make your way over to the body of the slain mage. You gaze down at the body of the young mage and find his face is frozen, the same terrifying expression it bore at the moment of his gruesome demise. A quick search for his belongings turns up the following. It's a grey owl pendant. It's magical, as you'd expect. It's got 1 stamina point, 3 Never Reserve. This small, grey wooden pendant is carved in the likeness of a perched owl. Now, if I was a symbologist, and, you know, actually knew about all the customs of the Grey Circle and various other orders, I could, might be able to interpret something from that, but I don't, so maybe it'll make sense later. Maybe it's just there. Or maybe he just likes owls. Could mean absolutely nothing. Tunic of Starlight. This is armor for your torso. It's magical, as you'd expect. It's got 2 aura, 2 mind, 2 spirit. 3 stats that help with magic. Thin strands of pure silver unite the seams of this blue cloth tunic. When viewed from certain angles, faint star patterns seem to emerge from the dark fabric. It's got 14 stamina points, which is a lot. Okay, it's not a lot now, but when it came out, it was a lot. Now it's completely whooped by the egg-studded vest, but of course it is. That thing is ridiculously overpowered. Now, which is okay, I'm going to check something. I check some things, and that's 2 more SP than any armor that you're likely to find. Although you may have the... Wait a minute, what's the dragon wing? Yeah, I think you're quite likely to have is the dragon wing breastplate, which is better than that. But if you didn't get that and got something else from the whole Haunting and Sternstig thing, this would probably be the best SP armor you'd have at the time, or when it was active. But then I got that egg vest, which made it completely redundant. Anyway, it'll go into my stall. An iron wad, it's just a regular iron wad. And the other stone square half. I'm going to put that on the quick use panel. This small, triangular piece of stone is obviously half of a largely halves of a larger square piece. Half of the engraving of a blazing sun adorns the flat surface of the stone. You immediately recognise the stone to be the other half of the piece already in your possession. When you've completed your search, you fold his arms across his chest and gently close his eyes before stepping back from his lifeless body. Alright. Pervis coating of ice covers the marking. The ice appears impervious to any attempt to remove it. Okay, a particular item's got to be used here. I'm going to guess Hammer of Icy Wrath. Because that seems to solve everything when you're in Wagner's Mad. You hold up the Hammer of Icy Wrath and level its broad, frost-covered head at the symbol emblazoned on the stone pillar. The ancient weapon trembles violently as a powerful surge of energy rages along its sturdy shaft, passing through your arms and into your body. The jarring, disorientating sensation leaves you breathless and reeling, forcing you to lower the hammer and sink to one knee as you struggle to regain your bearings. When at last your head clears, you stare up at the soaring pillar and discover, much to dismay, The image of the tackerback beneath the thick coating of ice still adorns the column. Okay. Alright, something else I've got to do first. Alright. You turn. It's one of the three pieces of the emblazoned key. Okay. Got to do something else first. Oh, maybe I've got to... Okay, I've probably got to do something with those squares first. Okay. I go a couple south and there's another question mark. Suddenly, without warning, a deafening rumble rolls along the corridor. There's a massive wall of ice and stone to the west suddenly collapses. A new passage, previously concealed behind the wall of ice, heads west from here. All right. That's a shortcut. That quickly connects this bit to the west of the dungeon. Allow me to very quickly get to here where the... Oh, no, not here. No, this was just where one of the corpses was. A bit west of there is where I want to go. Thick iron plate has been fastened to the back wall of... What? Back wall of the narrow alcove just off the pay passage you're following. The centre of the iron plate is a small square impression. Let's use those two square halves. You snap both the stone square halves into impression at the centre of the iron plate. 64 XP to general. The engraved sun that spans both halves of the stone square suddenly flares, flooding the alcove with a rich golden light. As quickly as it appears, however, the light fades, revealing an empty socket in the centre of the iron plate. With both of the triangular stone pieces now gone, you step back from the wall of the alcove. Alright, that's presumably done something somewhere somehow. Alright, now can I get these get the next part of the emblazoned key? We shall see very soon. Here we are, we're there. Use the hammer. 256 experience to general. That's better. You hold up the hammer of ice Iwaf and level its broad frost-covered symbol, the head of the symbol emblazoned on the stone pillar. The ancient weapon trembles violently as a powerful surge of energy rages along its sturdy shaft, passing through your arm and into your body. The jarring, disorientating sensation leaves you breathless and reeling, forcing you to lower the hammer and sink to one knee as you struggle to regain your bearings. But at last your head clears, you stare up at the soaring pillar and discover the image of the tackerback is now gone. Before drawing your next breath, you examine your left witch. The marking from the pillar. But the lower third of attacker back is now emblazoned on your flesh. Suddenly, a bright silver light suddenly floods the corridor. Before you can even attempt to shield your eyes from the blazing pillar, the light vanishes. In its place, standing before the stone pillar that bore the emblazoned mark, is the ghostly silhouette of a hooded woman. Through her shimmering face reveals no distinguishing features. A soft, clear voice is strangely familiar to you. "Found this part last of all," she says, her form slowly becoming less distinct. "You remember me? We met not long ago, at least so I think it was. Find the third part of the key and hurry. You and I will be together before the end. Terrible, lurking, inescapable end. So and the final dungeon will have various people who have got to the bottom of mad from various worlds, all teaming up in some sort of awesome final showdown. I'm almost through to the lowest gates. We're gonna need your help. Time is short, but there should still be enough to do what only we can." Yes. It's going to be we. Yeah, we kind of implies at least two, but possibly many more. Yes, it's going to be really epic when we finally get to the bottom of the mad. And I think we shall permanently remove a significant portion of evil from the entire multiverse. Or something like that. Which would be very nice. The glittering apparition dissipates into a cloud of sparkles that quickly fade, leaving you alone in the icy darkness at the end of the winding passage. Within moments of the apparition's disappearance, you place the voice as that of Nalaslar, a woman whose image you encountered deep within the labyrinth. Nalaslar had indicated to you that she too was exploring the maze, but in a different time and place. You clearly recall your first encounter with her. Recall your first encounter with Nalaslar on level 34 of Wagner's Labyrinth. We've got to put this in because he has no idea how long it's been since you've done this. It could be years. In our case, it's several months. When it first came out, it was a while. The unmistakable sound of a single soft footfall from your right snaps your head in that direction. There, stepping out of the deep gloom that hugs the end of the passage, is a diminutive hooded figure. You instinctively draw yourself into defensive stance as you call out to the shadowy figure, hoping to discover its intentions. The figure immediately bows, then holds up both his hands, as is to signify that no harm is meant by the sudden intrusion. "You're right to be wary," issues the soft, clear voice of the woman from beneath the overhanging hood. "You need not fear. I need it either. We're not really in the same place here. Let me show you." The hooded woman stoops down to pick up a piece of stone on the floor. You watch as a hand, which appears real, passes directly through the small one. She picks up and uncurls the fingers of her right hand, revealing the very stone that sits on the floor at her feet. "Can't directly affect anything in your version of the labyrinth," she says, pocketing the stone. "Likewise, you can't affect anything in mine. Which is to be preferred, of course. After all, I've grown to like this place. As much as one might ever be expected to bear fondness for a gloomy old spot like this." "Yes, gloomy. That's certainly the right word for it." You ask the woman to elaborate on what she has just told you. "Anyone entering this place, there aren't a lot of us, mind you, gets their very own maze. And how come Coratel didn't get her very own maze? I'm thinking," she says. "Nothing I do in yours or what I do in mine has any effect on anyone else exploring here. That's all part of the magic of this place, this wonderful, forsaken, deadly place. Well, we can both be proud of ourselves. At least we're still alive." It's more than can be said for most who wander in here. You ask the woman her name. How is she able to appear before you in your version of the maze? You'll find the answer to your second question on level 51, she says. "As for my name, I'm Narsilar. Thunar is what I prefer to be called. It's what I'm accustomed to being called, and what I prefer. Vastly prefer. Can you imagine having a name that both starts and ends in Nar? It's really just a bit too much. You're Sir Croakington, White. Well met. How did I know your name? Well, I know you want to ask, but you'll find that on level 51 too. Of course, before you get that far, you've got to deal with those two nasties you've had to leave behind. You will, but not just yet. You've almost got everything you need." Jarred back to the present by the sound of something large moving along the cave passage, you turn from the pillar and strain your eyes against the frigid gloom to the west. You wait for nearly a minute, watching and listening intently for any sign of movement in the corridor. At last, satisfied you're alone, and elated to have another piece of the emblazoned key adorning your wrist, you check over your gear, prepare to make your way out of the caves. "Alright, let's get out of these caves. Making my way west, as fast as I can. Oh, here's a question mark. Oh yeah, it's just a frozen bearded man. We've seen him before. Okay, the entrance is the very west, but there's something in the way. Suddenly, without warning, its limbering movement, producing barely a whisper, the glowing silhouette of Ularagal appears out of the darkness ahead. As the towering creature steps into a pool of light, the blue aura surrounding its immense flames suddenly intensified. Moving silently, the glowing beast heads swiftly towards you. As you draw yourself into defensive stance, you're dismayed to see four more of the glowing creatures emerging from the gloom. The first of the glowing Aragal, its movements strangely silent, bounds forward and attacks, swiping out at you with its deadly claws. Begin combat. Swats at you with his clawed hands. I go into a battle wage. God, I was nearly finished. Let me out. And slain. 40 XP. The glowing Aragal collapses into a heap on the icy floor of your cave. Progressive passage. It's another one. Before you can catch your breath, the next of the savage creatures is upon you. I'm just going to quick combat this. Another 40 XP. Number 3. 40 XP. Number 5. 40 XP. The glowing Aragal collapses to a heap on the icy floor of the cave passage. You bravely engage the last glowing Aragal. Quick combat. Another 40 XP and a bit of healing after that. The glowing Aragal collapses to a heap on the icy floor of the cave passage. 128 experience to general. The glowing carcass of the five Aragal quiver for several moments before rapidly dissolving into bubbling silver puddles. Oh, I guess there's some sort of magical construct then. The icy pools of the shimmering liquid then swiftly evaporate, their wispy remains rising into the icy air in thin, eddying streams of blue vapour. Still puzzled by the strange encounter, though almost certain that the glowing creatures were magically summoned against you, you prepare to resume your trek out of the caves. Okay, I mean, there's many people who want to stop me, so it could be any of them. It could be Glenorus, it could be Runeskin, it could be Timmercliff. Others, perhaps? Could be the sentient portal itself. You're standing at the western edge of an icy cave tunnel. I see a cave tunnel directly in front of the iron door that leads to the lowest level for Ironwind. Regler has told you one of his men would be stationed on the other side of the door. Prepare to open it in the event that you're ready to leave the cave. Okay, I'm ready now. Whap against the iron door. You whap loudly against the cold, pitted surface of the iron door. The resulting echoes carry along to the east, quickly fading into dim whispers before disappearing into the still, frigid gloom of the cave. After nearly a minute, appears your knocking has gone unanswered. I guess the person who's waiting there went and got themselves a coffee or some paleo or something. Or maybe some fresh, warm gloves, because the gloves they're currently wearing have got all icy and terrible. So get some new fresh ones. New fresh ones that have been heated up over some sort of fire. You know, so they're nice and chilly and not covered in ice. No, nice and toasty. You don't want chilly, you want toasty. Or something like that. Here's your knocking has gone unanswered. Suddenly, a loud groan reverberates along the sloping passage as the massive iron door swings open. There, standing in the stone corridor on the other side of the formidable barrier, is a man clad in a full suit of armour made from the thick, furry hide of an Aragal. Well, you should be able to make more of those now. He smiles and promptly ushers you into Fort Ironwind's deepest hall. When he asks if you'll be returning to the caves, you shake your head. He nods and immediately closes the door, sealing off the little-known entrance to the ancient fortress. The chief will want to see you right away, he said. He's been a bit worried since you've left. See you back in one piece should help relieve his mind. Come then, let's get you warmed up. Within an hour, you're once again seated before the crackling blaze, filling the deeply recessed fireplace on the cavernous hall that dominates much of Fort Ironwind's first level. Most of that hour was spent taking off many, many layers. Regleg, accompanying the chair on the opposite side of the hearth, smiles and nods as you conclude a second telling of your adventure in the caves. Caves beneath the fortress. Sorcerers, Aragals, portals, he says. I'm beginning to think that putting up that iron door is the best thing I've done since I've took residence in this old place. I ought to see if we can have an enchantment or two placed upon it. Ah, that is a matter for another time. And of course, no concern to you. I'm certainly glad you're back from those caves safe and sound. Redigor asks to see the mark adorning your whisk. You present the nearly completed symbol to the legendary brigand, and he examines it for several moments before nodding. I'll ask you, Stan Dinewood, he says. Well, obviously pressing affairs, one in particular that must command your attention. Another time, perhaps? You're always welcome here, Sir Crokington. Old Ironwood might not be the easiest part to reach, but that's all part of its charm, which I'm sure you can attest. Red Glegg rises and subtly asks if you've managed to acquire any Argo pelts while making your way through the caves. When you tell him that you have some pelts, he immediately offers to buy them from you. I'll give you some adventurer tokens for whatever you've got, he says. Make good use of those skins up here. Now, I can agree or decline to sell the pelts. Now, there's really no reason for me to decline to sell the pelts. They are clearly needed here. I am going to get paid very well, so I'm going to sell the pelts. You had Red Glegg your Argo pelts, and the bandit chief gives you a small pouch containing 7 adventurer tokens. Ooh. Caps, boots, caps, capes, caps, boots, mittens, blankets, he says, placing the pelts on the floor next to the chair. The furry hide of an Argo is good for any number of uses up here. I appreciate Sir Crokington, and I hope you enjoy those tokens. I've never seen any use for them myself, but I know they're coveted among adventurers. I may have had one or two adventures in my life, but adventure is one title I cannot claim. Yeah, maybe in the future. You speak with Red Glegg at length and find yourself repeatedly startled by his knowledge of recent affairs from across the realms. Gradually, he swings his conversation around to more immediate matters. You'll need to go after Scavenger, of course, he says. He won't be easy to find, even if we have an idea about where he might be heading. Should you find him, he won't be easy to catch. In fact, it's more likely he'll find you before you find him. You need to believe me when I tell you this. You don't want to be found by Gibrick Ardmore. Red Dick tells you, you well know yourself, the Scavenger is either headed into the caves of Morag to somehow acquire the symbol, sent to west somewhere within its perilous depths, or is providing the location of the symbol to some unknown interested party. You realise that either outcome could prove disastrous for you. If he's heading into the caves himself, you might find him in Quillbog, says Red Leg. Okay, where is Quillbog? Quillbog. Nested between the southern edge of the great Silbrin Forest and the perilous mire known as Belsong Slough, the town of Tilbog is described by many who chance to visit it as a strange and unwelcoming sort of place, filled with an odd assortment of unfriendly characters. As the tales of travellers are subject to the whims of those who tell and retell them, it's likely that the inhabitants of Quillbog, but the inhabitants of any other remote settlement on the edge of the wilds, are necessarily wary and suspicious of outsiders. Says Red Leg. I've known Tribrick to have had business in that town. That was years ago, but it bears mentioning. I think particularly with its proximity to the caves. Queer place, though. Folk in Quillbog aren't overly fond of outsiders, which of course makes it a somewhat useful place to stay when you don't want to be found. I don't know what your next move should be, says Wegleg, running his fingers through his tangled beard. But it's hardly for me to say. Observing only what I can from afar, and likely misinterpreting much as passed my way. It's a difficult way thing to figure, Bandit Chief sighs. Well, I have to assume your most pressing desire is to leave this icy little haven of ours. I'm sure Emmett Hale is eager for you to return. Will you next see her? Remind her not to forget about us. We're up here in Ironwind. I may no longer subscribe to all the old ways, but I still consider her a valuable ally. More than that, a dear friend. Oh, and should you fire Britic, well, maybe break one of his fingers for him. Then wish him luck with whatever he's got himself tangled up with. You follow Wegleg out of the chamber and into the smaller room at the southern end of the fortress's main corridor. There, he directs your attention to a triangle formed in the centre of the door by three small rounded stones. You recognise the formation as being nearly identical to the one by which Eminent Haler opened the portal that brought you here. The bandit chief steps towards the triangle of stones and empties a small pot pouch of sand onto the floor in the centre of formation. Looks familiar? Wakehead shouts, turns to you and smiles. Something. Maybe the single honest thing I've ever enjoyed learning. It comes fairly handy now and then, particularly in my former profession. Emmett Hare's portal may still be open on the mountain, but I think you and I would both prefer to avoid Karagon's bite. Go on now. Stepping onto the triangle will take you back to a more civilized world. Well, don't worry. Unlike the last, those intentions shouldn't be doubted. Those accuracy leads for want. I don't ever miss my mark. Wegleg steps to the edge of the triangle of stones and motions for you to approach. As you comply with his friendly directive, he reaches out and meets you on a shoulder cross. Things are afoot, so I'm left to believe. And every last one of them is bent against you, he says, his relaxed, gentle demeanour strangely reassuring. I've lived my entire life under similar circumstances, and, if pressed to admit it, I wouldn't have done it any other way. I've no doubt you'll see to it that what needs to be done is done. I wish you luck, though. I think we might all do well with a bit of that. You bid farewell to Wegleg and thank him. The bandit leader, clad in his crimson-hued armour, nods and salutes you with a final wave as you place your white foot onto the pile of sand in the centre of the engraved stones. As before, clearing outside High Meadow, the ground beneath you quivers and a flashing white light erupts from the floor, leaving you with a flash as it floods the dimly lit chamber. Then, with your next breath, your surroundings melt away. You are left tumbling through a cold, silent void. Sir Crokington. The gentle voice in your white ear startles you awake. Your eyes fly open, and there, hovering over you, is the face of Emmett Hare. The young woman, a tangled golden locks hanging down, almost low enough to brush against your brow, draws away and rises to her feet. She quickly offers you a hand and you endeavour to regain your footing. After steadying yourself, you take note of your surroundings. You're standing on the southern edge of the clearing out of which you were originally gated, about 200 feet from the triangle of stones. Wegleg takes great pride in his mastery of our strange little arch, he says, referring to the method of gating magic both she and the bandit chief employ. But I'm afraid he takes no notice of his inaccuracy. Still, he's within 100 yards this time. Not by any stretch his worst result. Still, it's all dust as well. This portal I opened closed on its own just a few minutes ago. Well, it's a relief to have you back. Emmett Hale is elated when he reveals to her the nearly completed emblazoned mark adorning your left wrist. But the emotion is promptly tempered by the news of Scavenger's theft of the map, leading to the final piece of the key. So the last piece lies somewhere in the caves of Mauramog, she asks. I can't imagine Jebrek venturing into the caves. He doesn't have the stomach for that sort of thing. At least not that I've ever known. But also, likely he doesn't have the means to survive the poisonous air. But he does seem to always lay his nimble fingers on whatever he needs. And usually at the precise moment he needs it, no. He'll almost certainly sell it to someone, so I'd wager. Someone who will then have something to use as leverage against us. It's not a particularly reassuring thought, is it? Your description of the young mage that you discovered attempting to take the piece of the emblazoned key greatly interests Eminent Haler. When you describe the encounter, including with the mage's death, hands of another spellcaster, she nods grimly. We know what we're up against. Even if we're not sure of all Motor's attention, she says. Even with just a single piece of the key, those who desire its completion for reasons opposed to our own, or even powerless to our own, leave us an untenable situation. We need to move quickly. but we must first know where to go and what to look for when we get there. We can discount nothing of what Wedleg has told you, even only because without it we have nothing else. And Mihaela falls silent and casts her weary gaze around the perimeter of the broad clearing. For the first time since returning to this spot, you take note of the overcast sky, the churning ceiling of deep grey clouds, dimly lit by the unseen sinking sun, which weighs the approaching onset of dusk. "I'll send someone to Quillbog," says Emlyn Heya, breaking what has been nearly a 4 minutes of silence. "Perhaps we can at least find out whether or not the scavenger went into the caves, or to prevent you from heading into an ambush. I don't believe that Wedleg would play us into a snare, but how can we hope to be certain of it? We need a set of eyes in Quillbog, and I know just the pair." Ebertea's next inquiry catches you off guard. She pointedly asks what your immediate plans are when you'll next be heading. Your answer elicits a single nod. She again scans the edges of the clearings. "Let's meet at the Sounding Oak 1 month from now." There's a link there. Sounding Oak. A tree many claim is older than the city that surrounds it. Towers a stone-walled circular garden in one of the oldest sections of the Titian capital. While there is little doubt the massive ancient oak is enchanted, it's long been believed that the magic protecting and preserving the tree is weakening. Over the past 3 centuries, the tree has lost several limbs, and as a consequence of this, has taken on a rather eerie, withered appearance. Despite its more recent hardships, the Sounding Oak remains an imposing, majestic presence in the city, one that serves to remind the people of Talanus and the Kingdom of Larch of the determination and resilience of the Titian people. I think you'll know where in Talanus to find the old tree. By then, I'll have a better idea about our next move. We know all about Quillbog, Malamog, and with just a little luck, we may even know where to find Scavenger. Having agreed to meet Emmett Hare in 1 month's time at the Sounding Oak, you wish her luck and safe travels. She promptly wishes you the same and reminds you to remain watchful, particularly of any new acquaintances. Before leaving, you give her Wedleg's regards. She seems genuinely touched by the sentiment contained in your conveyance of the brigand's friendly words. "See you in a month, Sir Croton," she says. "Take care of yourself." With late afternoon fading into dusk, you and Emmett Hare part ways, each of you following a different road away from High Meadow. After only a few moments, you turn and glaze back at the young woman you've come to appreciate as both a trusted ally and a dear friend. As her receding, shadow-draped silhouette vanishes into the gathering gloom, you find yourself hoping that two of you will again meet safe and sound in Talanus, beneath the broad arms of its ancient ever-living monument, 1 month from now. And that is finally the end of this adventure. We get 1,024 experience to general and 256 experience to all skills and powers, which is rather nice. Alright, we're finally out of High Meadow. At the Sounding Oak in Talanus, there's an adventure called the Chamber of Horrors. Now, what exactly is so horrific about these chambers, and why are we even going there? That will wait until next time. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.